Donald Trump says the primaries are rigged. Let's go back to the old way. Really? What was the old way? Let's get a primer. While delegates do nominate a candidate today at the convention, which is supposed to largely reflect citizens' votes, in the country's beginnings, the Electoral College did that. Now, these are elected officials from every state. They now cast a largely symbolic vote in the general election that reflects our vote as citizens. But the Electoral College once nominated presidential candidates, or Congress did. During Teddy Roosevelt's progressive era in the early 1900s, there was a call for reform. A few states started having primaries, and over the last century, ordinary citizens started voting for candidates. But delegates weren't always bound to those votes at the nominating conventions, and party bosses still pretty much controlled things until 1968. Let's bring in Richard Pacelli, head of the Department of Political Science at the University of Tennessee at Knoxville. Professor, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
And we've been doing some deep research, and according to Wikipedia...
Which I don't let my students use.
I know, sorry about that. But the founding fathers did not want the country to be partisan. There were not parties. The first two elections, the Electoral College handled nominations. But then inevitably a two-party system did emerge. But it was party members in Congress who'd elect nominees for president. So when did we start the delegate system and why?
Well, basically, as the country got bigger and bigger, there became the need for having delegates in the same reason we kind of need the Senate, House of Representatives, state legislature. Not everybody can go and do the work, and so we had to take some small percentage of people and delegate them to go to these national conventions to put together the individual states' decisions into a nomination.
The first national convention was called by the Anti-Masonic Party in 1831 because they resented the congressional system where the congressmen were nominating candidates and they didn't have one, so they had the first national convention. So you had a system in which people, delegates, were nominated from within districts to go to the conventions?
Yes, well, the states would figure out their own ways, and that's one of the interesting things and perhaps the confusing things for a lot of people is that federalism determines this, but each of the states are electing delegates who then go to the national convention.
Well, that's today. But as you know, the sentiment today also is this idea of delegates is rigged. We need to go back to popular vote. You say what?
Well, we didn't have that until very recently. I mean, it's 1972 or so when we begin to really move towards primaries. But before that, it was the state parties that wanted to decide things, and they weren't really interested in sharing things with the masses. They wanted to make the decisions based on what they felt were the best for their party and for their region.
It was party members in each state who selected the delegates who would go to the conventions, not a popular vote.
Right. The popular vote's more recent, although some states did go to primaries relatively early. But in situations where we would have the majority of delegates or even a plurality of delegates chosen with primaries, that's very recent. That's, in most of our lifetimes. State party bosses really made the decisions in the proverbial smoke-filled rooms. The parties were in control, and as we went to a more democratic, with a small d, a more democratic situation of primaries, that weakened the holds of the parties because now candidates didn't need the party bosses to help them get nominated or move towards the nomination. They had to go directly to the voters. And so we've seen in the last 30 or 40 years the weakening of the political parties, and we see it really with the Republican Party this year.
Talk about when this recent phase started, though. 1968. On the Republican side, Richard Nixon won 9 of 13 state primaries, but he had all the party-backed delegates of non-primary states. So he wins the nomination, even though Governor Ronald Reagan won big in the popular vote. On the Democratic side, President Johnson bows out of the race after a challenge from anti-war activist Eugene McCarthy. And later, Robert Kennedy, who jumped in the race in March. Imagine that. He's, of course, assassinated in June. Johnson's vice president, Hubert Humphrey, also gets in the race too late for primaries. He gets all his delegates from party leaders who control them. And despite Senator George McGovern stepping in as Kennedy's successor at the convention, Humphrey wins the nomination with party-backed delegates.
Yes, that's absolutely true. You know, all the decisions were made by the party bosses. And in Chicago, there was just a revolt among the, even among some of the elected officials, and violence in the streets. People on the outside looking to get some say over the system rather than just a say when we got down to two candidates, one for each party.
Well, and after 1968, there was a Democratic commission, a panel that was led by George McGovern.
Right.
The report that came out of the commission tried to create some uniformity in how delegates are chosen, also increase influence among people with marginal voices, people of color, women, voters under 30. It determined that state organizations shouldn't select more than 10% of the state's delegates. The rest would go, you know, according to how the popular vote went. And it made the process open. I mean, delegates could be elected on a ballot or in state conventions. But it was different state to state. This created a lot of confusion.
You've gotten to a really interesting point here, and a lot of people have talked about sort of Donald Trump or in some cases Bernie Sanders closing in on Hillary Clinton in national polls and doing well. But these things are not contested nationally. They're contested state by state. And the states all have this patchwork of different ways that they decide how to choose their delegates. And some have winner-take-all systems. Some have proportional systems. Some have caucuses. Some have conventions.
Some have bound delegates. In the first ballot, you have to vote the way the popular vote was. Some have unbound delegates, as in Pennsylvania.
Right. Pennsylvania is one of the only states that has it. There's a number of unbound delegates, but that number outside of Pennsylvania is very small, like 10%. On the Democratic side, it's bigger. You have the party elites that have their own votes. And
these are the superdelegates.
Yes. Mm. And what's happened in these circumstances is that you get this more Democratic way of doing things, and then the states and the parties try to figure out, how can we control this? And so the parties have been very regimented in when they allow certain states to hold their primaries, and nobody could move ahead of New Hampshire and Iowa. If you move up too soon, you could get penalized and lose delegates. So the states have tried to, and the parties in particular, have tried to reassert themselves, knowing that they have given up some power democratically to the people. And, you know, it's a surprise to a lot of people that somebody like Donald Trump has done well, because in the past, the parties had enough power to push people like this aside, and to be able to make sure that if they couldn't exactly pick who they wanted, they would at least get somebody who was quite tolerable.
And just digging a little deeper on this idea of proportional delegates and winner-take-all delegates, and it's so complicated. In some places it's, if you get above 50%, then you get a proportional amount of the delegates. The equations are incredible, because you might ask, well, how does each party decide how many delegates each state gets? And it's based on the proportion of votes each state gave to the Democratic candidate in the last three presidential elections, and then the number of electoral votes each state has in the Electoral College. On the Republican side, after some rules changes in 2008, there's some that are winner-take-all, like New York.
Yes.
Three delegates are allocated for every congressional district.
Right.
They get a bonus delegates based on whether they have a Republican governor or Republican majorities in one or all chambers of its state legislature, and whether it has GOP majorities in its delegation to the Congress. I mean, it's hard. It's such a complicated system.
Sure.
It's hard to imagine taking it apart.
Yeah, it keeps people like me in a job, though, so.
But what would you say to the, I mean, we're hearing the calls for a straight popular vote.
Well, you know, I think part of it goes back to the, you know, the way we set up the Constitution, the way the framers set it up. There was an inherent mistrust of the people, and that mistrust may have gone down slightly. But I think there's still this desire to say, you know, we just don't want to turn this over directly to the people 100%. We want to have some safeguards in the system. And those safeguards may be the rules at the convention. They may be the rules to set up the primaries and whatever. And they do keep the part, you know, if you went to a situation where it was just a direct vote, the party's influence would be just negligible, and they would not have the ability to have the limited influence that they have this year. And the question is whether this year becomes an aberration, just sort of a one-off, or if we're seeing something new. And right now we don't know that, but I suspect that this is just a really different election, and things will kind of get a little bit back towards normal next time around.
Richard Pacelli, professor and head of the Department of Poli-Sci at the University of Tennessee, on our long, tortured history of delegates. Professor, thank you.
My pleasure.
Well, do you still have questions about delegates? You probably do. Bring them. Leave a comment, question at hereandnow.org, and we will take it up again.